This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, Barry, till four. Two in the books, one to go. Plenty more show. We found out that based on our little Siri prank, that we have the ability to access your phones.
I tried to activate the Google, and when I did it, immediately got three texts that said, my phone went off, my Google activated, and you messed up my GPS on Google Maps, bro.
Google.
So
I like the way Barry says Google.
It's working. So let's see. Let's try an experiment. You ready, Nick? You want to try this? Here we go. All right. We're going to try to see if we can get everyone's listening. This phone is Google to do this search together. You ready?
Yo.
Okay, ready. Google. Search for pics of transvestites.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how many people get. Hey,
it didn't work.
Mine worked. Now there are people driving around right now. They're like, "What the hell's wrong with my
phone?"
Your
phone's going nuts right now.
I know, I know. And oh, it's asking me to install transgender dating. Do I want to install this
or uninstall, as the case may be?
Listen to the description. It just said transgender dating, which I guess is an app. Transgender dating is for single lady boys who want to meet and date transgenders, shemales, cross-dressers, and other lady boys. Make new friends. What? No, I'm good. That mine worked. Did yours, Joel? Did yours?
Nope.
Or did it just pull from your history?
Nope. Nope.
All right. It didn't work?
Nope.
Okay. I wonder. I bet you it worked somewhere. Somebody got that.
So I mentioned this earlier in the show, and I found the story. But this Lou Williams thing was really, really real about having – he was like – and they said guys – we were talking about black books. But guys were envious all over the place that he had two girlfriends that knew about each other and didn't care. And one of them is his baby mama.
Yeah.
But eventually it ended. It says it dashed men's dreams everywhere when, according to reports, Lou and the mother of his child, Ashley Henderson, went their separate ways. When he was with the Raptors, he made headlines when people found out he had two girlfriends who got along with one another. But it looks like things have changed. Sports gossip blog Jocks and Stiletto Jill reports Lou and Ashley broke up because she deleted Instagram photos of the six man and didn't go to All-Star Weekend trip to Cabo with him and his other girlfriend, Reese. So not only do they know each other, he was going to travel with both of them on vacation.
That's baller.
That is big baller.
Yeah.
Who needs 20 girls? Well, Leonardo DiCaprio did. But at the same time, that's impressive if you can pull that one off.
Man.
Reese posted a picture from the vacation on Instagram, captioning it, "One in a million." Ashley didn't delete all the pictures of Lou from her page, though. She kept one featuring Drake because Drake. She also has kids with Lou Williams, so don't be surprised if they get back together in the near future. But he was the talk in social circles of NBA players for a long time because he had two chicks. They knew of each other. They were okay with each other. And evidently, they hung out with each other.
That's pretty baller, man.
Yeah.
That's when, you know, you hear guys talk about big pimping. That is big pimping.
Is that certified Amish or is that certified?
Certified Amish?
No, not Amish. That's
what?
There's a series about it now.
I don't know.
What's Tom Cruise's religion?
Scientology?
Scientology. Mm-hmm. There's that show that my wife watches now about the actress that was on.
Leanne Remini?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's her name?
Leanne Remini?
It's not Leanne, is it?
I think so.
Rahimi, yeah. But anyway, they were talking about the fact that like the guys in the top of the Scientology church could just run roughshod on whatever they want. Whoever, whenever, how many times ever.
We talked about this Sunday. We said that Travolta, who's at like the very top.
Yeah.
They said he could literally get away with murder within the Scientology community and nobody would even bat an eye. That's how powerful he is.
I suddenly thought you were going to bring up men, but you went with murder.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
he's got to be one of the most famous people in the world, John Travolta, just because he transcends like all cultures, if you think about it.
So would Tom Cruise, right?
I don't think Tom Cruise is as big as Travolta, in my opinion.
I
don't think he is. Not worldwide.
Worldwide? I think so.
I think that I mean, Travolta goes all the way back to the Sweat Hog days. And Saturday Night Fever was so big.
All over the world, not just in the States.
Yeah. And I mean, Cruise, don't get me wrong, international movie star. Man, I don't know, dude.
I think he's up there with him, but I don't think he's bigger than him. I
Top Gun, Risky Business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's got a bunch of big hits.
All the Right Moves.
Let's just call it a push.
The Mission. Okay.
We'll call it a push. It's a push. By the way,
A Few Good Men.
I see.
That was Travolta and Tom Cruise.
I read the article about Leonardo DiCaprio, and the last paragraph of the article is by itself worth a read. It said, and I'm going to read this. The eyewitness didn't mention that the other men in the club. Okay, so I got to set this up.
Yep.
He went to a club, DiCaprio did. He left with 20 girls from the club. So this is the last paragraph of the article. The eyewitness did mention that the other men in the club couldn't handle the ladies with any sort of finesse, which is probably why they all went home with Leo. Quote, the Jonas brother, Joe, looked scared, the source said. It looked like he was going to drown and suffocate in the women. His face was hilarious. So you got Jonas brothers out there that are scared of 20 women. Not DiCaprio. He was like, let's go, ladies. All back to my hotel. Like, could you imagine walking through the lobby of the hotel with 20 chicks just trailing behind you? Like a mama duck and her babies just like, yeah, what's up?
Wow.
Room service for 21, please.
Just the fact that he was willing to just, you know, because everybody, especially when you're in the entertainment industry, you're trying to do everything, like, off the radar. So you're trying to, like, enter the club through the back entrance or through the kitchen and, you know, and in and out VIP areas. He's just basically flaunting. Now, that's right. I'm taking 20 home.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatevs.
Who needs Uber? Can we get one of those little mini buses? School's in.
Oh, by the way, I just got in my car and started listening. Bleep you, Barry. I guess the search did work. I guess folks' phones did go off. Oh my God, my phone listens to you. WTF. I said I was offline and couldn't blah blah blah.
That's solid.
That's good to know. That will be a thing from now on that I'll do.
So
time to time.
I was gonna throw this out there.
All right.
And I think we can make it happen.
Let's throw.
But I had promised this for quite a while, but I got Demo on the phone.
Oh, all right.
Demo, who ever since he left the Rockets hasn't talked to anybody, but coincidentally, the Pelicans play and host the Rockets tomorrow night in the Big Easy. Boogie Cousins' debut with his new team. Demo has agreed to join us at the bottom of the hour. So we'll get Demo on the phone, and we got to think of all the questions that we wanted to ask. First and foremost, obviously, about the physical and what went wrong and everything that happened with the Rockets. He mentioned that he thinks Boogie Cousins will not take away from his playing time or the playing time in the front court, and that he will look forward to playing with him and learn things from him. So we'll ask him about that.
Okay.
And just, you know, overall, we got to think of the questions that everybody wanted answered from the time that Demo was with the Rockets to the time he left, to all the different back and forth, to now how he's landed in New Orleans and what I guess the future holds for him. So, 3:30, we'll do that. So if you guys want to try and fire us some questions, and if we find some good ones that we hadn't thought about that were in the repertoire for fair game, we will definitely throw that his way, throw that out there, and we'll put that on Twitter as well. I want to tell you right now about Cars for Kids and the Cars for Kids program. If you guys don't know, it's a great program, and it's all run by you. Because what it essentially does is it takes a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a car, a clunker, a trailer, anything that you have that used to be running that's not, that is just taking up space and rusting out somewhere on your premises or in your storage unit or otherwise. You make a call. You let Houston Can's Cars for Kids program know what you got. They do the paperwork. They come out and get it. They give you a tax deduction. And, oh, by the way, they give you a $50 gift card just for participating in the program and calling them up to say you have something. And then they turn around and they turn it into opportunities for kids trying to get a second chance at an education. It's a fantastic program. With tax day coming up, you need a tax deduction, they've got the answer for you. Donate that vehicle, and guess what? That tax deduction probably is going to be at or better than what you could have sold that piece of crap for anyway. And when you get done selling it or giving it to them and they sell it, what they do is they use it as a resource. So if a kid going to school and trying to get his education needs some reading glasses, needs more meals, needs book money, bus fare, you name it, they'll do it. They'll make sure the kid has what he needs or she needs to get the education. 713-225-4226. Log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4. Demo joins us at 3:30. Should be interesting to get what really happened, hopefully, in the Rockets scenario, how New Orleans is, what he's expecting of Boogie Cousins, and lots of other things. If you guys have questions you want to get in, get them into us. It's funny because we got kind of sidetracked. We were talking about that 3-on-3 league, talking about if there would be fighting, talking about the fact that Ice Cube's the guy that came up with the idea, but they have gotten a lot of big names. None bigger than Allen Iverson, who's going to be a participant, I believe, to some degree. I'm not sure if he's going to play or consult or what he's going to be doing, but he is involved in the process. And the reason why I bring him up is it was pretty funny. TMZ caught him the other night and basically asked him if he ever had aspirations of becoming a coach in the NBA.
Is that your goal? You want to coach in the NBA?
Who?
You.
Hell no.
Why not?
Because I ain't coaching no more that make more money than me.
How
the hell I'm going to tell him anything? Hey.
See? I think, in a nutshell, sometimes we just need a lot more Allen Iverson. Because you talk about a guy that cuts to the chase and just tells you what the way he feels.
Yeah. It's so true.
It is.
So true. Because that always, I think it always crosses any player's mind. Man, does this coach not know that I'm the star of this team? That I make $15 million a year?
To your point, aside from Greg Popovich, can you name me a disciplinarian that's a head coach in professional basketball in the NBA?
Tom Thibodeau.
It's a good point.
But I still don't think.
But overall, it's the minority.
The list
that's a
is
great call.
Very, very
right.
short.
Right. And Gundy's out now, right? So besides Tibbs and Pop's kind of a disciplinary. I mean, he's a stickler on details, but he's respected, obviously, because of his track record. But you think about it. It works in college because the player needs the scholarship, but even then it has to be tamer because of the fact that the one-and-dones can simply go, I'm out. I'm just going to go play in Europe until I've reached my 1 year, and then I'm out. I'm going in the NBA draft. But before, the Bobby Knights of the world ruled because they needed the scholarship, and they had to do whatever the coach said. And now it's just a different day. It's definitely a different day in the NBA because we've named two disciplinarians. But in college, it's changed too because there are, you know, the days of basically torturing kids and doing whatever you want, saying whatever you want because you know they need the scholarship. Those are pretty much over too because with social media and everything else, the last thing you want that's going to kill you and your program is to get word out that you have been pulling a Mike Leach at Texas Tech or... Yeah. You know, a Mike Rice Jr. who did it, I believe it was at Rutgers or somewhere on the East Coast. But you get those guys and those videos surface and or the proof is in the pudding and all of a sudden your career is ruined. The school's career is, you know, in terms of having a successful program is set back. So it's crazy, but it's true.
Yeah.
So, indeed. I mean, I agree with him. But, I mean, the thing is what does – if Iverson wants – I mean, he can't pull the Magic Johnson either, right? To be the GM?
No, I don't think anybody's putting their franchise in the hands of Allen Iverson. But I do like the honesty. And I guarantee you that a lot of coaches are out there going, yeah, see, you guys think this is so easy. It's not, especially when these guys are multimillionaires and babies.
By the way, Lamont chimed in on my side.
Okay.
He said, who the hell said Tom Cruise is not as big as Travolta? Come on, man. Millennials probably don't even know Travolta.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that. What does that mean?
I just think when you take overall, I mean, I think the two that are kind of on the wayside that you mentioned are Saturday Night Fever and the Sweat Hogs. But I think overall, in terms of movies that were worldwide blockbusters, I think Tom Cruise has more than John Travolta.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you look at what he's been able to do in terms of worldwide, I just feel like Tom Cruise is more known here.
You know, the more I think about it, I was with you with Travolta at first, but now the more I think about it because some of his best stuff was kind of old.
I would love to see how many.
And the fact that Travolta did a lot of Nicolas Cage stuff. Like, you can't be teaming up with Nick Cage and thinking you're going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when did he team up with Nick? Face Off was a good movie.
One bad.
Yeah. Then he's done a couple with Nick Cage.
I don't remember. He probably has. I mean, they've been in movies for so long.
I think I've got a flip-flop on you, Nick. I think I got to go with the fact that, Cruise is a bigger I mean, I don't know. A bigger when you say, star.
I'm talking worldwide, though.
Yeah, I know.
Hasn't he done a couple with Nick Cage? You were talking about movies, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody said can't forget the greatest movie ever, Urban Cowboy. No doubt.
Boy.
Tom Cruise ever get an Urban Cowboy under his belt? Hell no. Somebody said they're done wasting their comedic genius on me. They said, I'm done wasting my comedic genius on you, Barry. I guess I missed a text. I better go back and see.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I better go back. Someone wants you to explain why the demo deal went south.
He's going to explain.
You've done that 1,000 times.
I've tried my best, but straight from the horse's mouth, let's get it from Demo.
And one more. Should I delete my Google searches? I don't want my wife going through my phone tonight and asking why I searched transgenders.
It's amazing if people knew what we were trying to think of that wasn't pushing the envelope too far that would be just good enough.
Exactly. I want everyone to know you're welcome. Yes. Because what we were going to do
would have really put you in hot water.
I have a feeling I would have gotten a lot of letters, as a matter of fact. Joel, of all people, was instigating it.
Yep.
And I decided not to. I took the high road.
From ammunition you guys have given me in the past on this show.
That's true. I'll just say this, guys. Joel wanted me to have your phone search for blue waffles. Don't do it! But that's what he wanted, and I said no. I said nay,
Joel. I thought
Joel.
I said pink socks.
I said nay. You said blue waffles or pink socks.
Well, people have heard you accuse me of saying things before.
I'm a man of the people.
Here we go.
I am. I totally
am.
A man of
the people.
I am a man of the people. I am.
Okay. If you say so, Barry, and you do. So.
As long as I believe it, that's all that matters.
Okay. Well, we've got Demo coming up at the bottom of the hour. And some people have been having some of the questions fired up, but I want to know what you guys think about asking him some questions, because the Rockets do play in New Orleans against his Pelicans tomorrow night. Terrence Jones, we'll ask him about that too, because supposedly Terrence Jones has played his last game as a Pelican.
Where is he going? Did they say?
They haven't said, but they said that there's a mutual agreement because of the additions to the front court. And you'd think that's weird, because Terrence Jones, another Kentucky Wildcat, very familiar with Anthony Davis, obviously, but also knowing of DeMarcus Cousins. I would think that those three guys would want to all play together.
You would think.
Yeah. But they said that.
But that's you're going to lose reps there, right? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, for there's only so many balls to go around, if you know what I mean. But you would think that he'd want to play because it's going to be a better team. There's going to be more attention on that team. There should be enough minutes to go around in that front court. But instead, T. Jones's people supposedly before the All-Star break went to the Pelicans and said, we need to mutually part ways, whatever means necessary. We need to do this. Hmm. And I think that's before the Cousins deal was known.
Now, I know someone threw it out there on Twitter, and you and I pretty much agreed on this. But any chance he ends up a Rocket again?
Yeah, I just don't see it. I just think that
it gives you a little bit of defensive help, though, right? A little bit.
Depth. So let me take you through, I guess, the best way to answer without answering it too technically by knowing, because I know too much. But I don't think the Rockets are high on him anymore.
Fair
That's
enough.
The reason why they let him get away. But if you go back to the Western Conference Finals against Golden State, you can look at the stats in that series when they really needed him to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And in the biggest game where they needed him the most on the road in Golden State, he went for 1 point. And I don't think he even had a rebound.
And, I mean, just the last thing they need is another undersized big man. I mean, they're not very big at that position to begin with. Montrezl Harrell is an undersized center. Nene is not. And Capella is a little bit. But he's so long. I mean, his arms are longer than he is at 6'10". So that helps. But I just don't know that, I mean, he plays good defense. He's just not a stopper anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think. So.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And I think that, look, there's a guy that cost himself a lot of money with just kind of careless things in his career. And he's still young enough that he can turn it around. But I don't think it's a good look either if you go to the team that took a chance on you and said, yeah, I think it's probably good if we mutually part ways. So if you can try and move me, that'd be great. Otherwise, just if you could cut me or something so I could play somewhere else.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
No, not very smart.
So Demo will be joining us. think Demo cost himself some money, and others have helped. So we'll try and clear the air on some things. We'll also preview the Rockets and the Pelicans and Boogie Cousins' debut, ironically, against your Houston Rockets tomorrow night in the Big Easy. Right now, I want to tell you about Gallery Furniture. They just got done with their President's Day sale, and they still have a lot of great deals for you, the Houston customer, at three quality locations. Gallery Furniture has been servicing and selling furniture to Houston for over three or four decades now, but there's a reason why people know Mattress Mac. People go to Gallery Furniture and they are return customers because their customer service is great. The deals are fantastic and the quality of furniture is second to none. Right now, Macapedic mattresses start at $19.99, but you get an $800 Gallery Furniture gift card right off the top. You can save on American made solid wood furniture, 2-for-1 recliners, and those Macapedic sleeps. That's today. You buy today, you get it tonight. That's the way Mac does business. No back order slips. And if it's what you want, it's what you'll get at Gallery Furniture. They also offer the largest selection of living room furniture made in America, as well as solid wood dining room tables and chairs, all from Gallery Furniture, delivered tonight. Deck out your home theater. Make sure that your home theater gets the leather seating that makes you feel even more comfortable when you're watching movies or sports. You can special order upholstered furniture right for your home theater or get all of their selection on leather seating. Three locations, Grand Parkway between Sugarland and Katy, Westheimer and Post Oak in the Galleria, and the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell, Parker both ways. No back order slips. You buy today, you get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry, as Nick diligently tries to get Demo on the phone, he gave us this time. Hopefully he will give us the time as we continue to call, and I'm texting him. So while we wait for Donatus Montiunas to join us, Barry, we were talking about some other things in the NBA. One of the things that we saw was the fact that the rumor and the report was out there after Jeannie Buss said, like, she held on too long because it was her brother before firing him.
Yeah.
But the other thing was that if Kupchak and Jim Buss could have pulled off a deal for DeMarcus Cousins, it quite possibly could have saved their job.
Yeah, but then they kept her in the dark on it as well. They were the stuff I was reading was saying, like, you know, that they had a vote and lower level basketball officials were voting on it, and that he was actually communicating with her through lawyers. So very weird. I mean, they're. You think the Knicks are a wreck? That was bad news as well.
It's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out because of the Knicks situation, it's going to be a microscope and then some on the Lakers to see how Magic and Rob Pelinka do. But without further ado, my man Donatus Montiunas is on the phone. It's been a long time. It's been a lot of, I guess, a very crazy, crazy 12 months. But of the New Orleans Pelicans, one time of your Houston Rockets. Demo, thanks so much for joining us, buddy. Good to catch up with
What's up? Yeah, it's a pleasure to join you guys.
So what's going on, man? I don't know how much is resolved of the whole thing, but there's still a lot of Rockets fans that obviously they even tag you when they are hitting me up that miss you and or want to know what happened. What can you say about what went down with you and the Rockets in the last 6 months?
You know, the things were not pretty, honestly, you know, but on the end at this point, I tried to forget more about him, you know, and I don't have no complaints, nothing for a team. And, you know, like I said, I spent there 4 beautiful years. I spent a lot of good time. I had a lot of good time with a lot of fans there. And, you know, I really enjoyed playing for Houston and for a team and for people of Houston, you know. So, you know, like I said, there was a lot of miscommunication, a lot of bad things, you know, that happened during that time. And, you know, on the end, none of the sides won because, you know, Rockets lost me and I lost a big contract too. So it's sad that the situation went that way, but, you know, not all the time you can control stuff like this.
Well, and people don't realize that you can, because you're healthy, right? I mean, people looked at that and said, well, he's not healthy and he's never going to be healthy and he can't, that's why he can't play in this league.
I mean, you see me playing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how he can tell me that I'm not healthy? Like, I'm doing everything. I'm playing in the highest level, and I'm doing great too. I mean, I'm feeling comfortable by playing in that in this level. So, I mean, you determine player who's how that he's healthy or not. I'm playing, so how can you tell me that?
Well,
I'm
just saying. The other thing is people don't realize you can fail a physical just because a team feels like failing you on a physical, and it has nothing to do with your health.
Exactly. Physical is subtracting opinion. You know that the team doctor decides pretty much. So, you know, it's just doctor's opinion pretty much. Team doctors. You know, most of those doctors, some of those doctors, you know, they're there because you know, the team pretty much they're the team doctors. So you know, they try to work for a team. You know, and you know, especially when the teams are telling them that okay, this guy, which we want to sign him for long term. You know. And he had a history of the back issues, you know, it's kind of getting them worried, you know, that, you know, that might be like on me if I pass him and he has something in the future. So some of the doctors are worried about it, you know, but on the other hand, like I feel great, you know, and, you know, I'm playing every game since I come back. I played, I had no issues, no complaints, you know, and just, you know, I'm just doing my usual routine and, you know, I'm feeling great. My body feels great.
That's great because, you know, you've seen it. I had to take a lot of heat on Twitter because we're friends, and I was a big supporter, staunch supporter of everything going on in your camp. And now that you're getting a chance to play, how much is that going to change now that you guys make the addition of Boogie Cousins? And how much is your team going to change with the guys you lost?
Well, I mean, you know, like I said before, it's unbelievable to have two players that caliber in the same team. It's just something not a lot of teams have it, you know, and, you know, all the teams are trying to play small right now. We kind of go opposite way as a team, so hopefully everything's going to turn out for the best. I believe that Boogie and Anthony Davis can play together really well. And, you know, I'm going to try to come off the bench and give as much energy, as much power as I can to the team, you know, to the second unit. So I think we're going to be pretty dangerous as a team.
Aspirations of playoffs then with 20-some games left starting tomorrow night against the Rockets?
I mean, you know, clearly we have to make a push right now, you know, for a playoffs. We're, I think, 2 or 3.5 games behind. And, you know, we had a pretty good stretch before the break where we won 3 out of the last 4 games. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do. But, you know, Houston game is one of those games that I think we kind of have to win, you know, if we want to look forward towards the playoffs, especially because we're playing at home.
Donatas Matayunas joins us on the show. Hey, are you kind of salivating and licking your chops for this game against the Rockets tomorrow?
No, I'm. You know, for me, if my team wins, that's the most important. You know, it's fun. It's going to be fun to play against the players that I've played with them for the last 3-4 years. So, you know, it's always fun to play against your ex team. But I don't feel no special rivalry or anything. You know, it's the team that I was with. Like I said, I respect all the coaches, all the players that I play with, you know, and I really had a lot of good memories from that team. And like I said, I don't want this dark spot in the whole history with the Rockets just, you know, make the story just bad. You know, it's not how it is. Like, I don't really hold a grudge or anything for Rockets. Like I said, like, both sides lost in this situation, and, you know, hopefully in the future I might be able to come back to the Rockets. If no, I mean, oh well, I'm gonna wish them all the best, and, you know, hopefully they're gonna continue to play the same way they're playing and make the playoffs and make a deep run.
You look at that team, Demo, and say, what could have been last year with you guys as opposed to what's going on this year was just the subtraction of Dwight, the difference. I mean, what is, in your mind, why are they so good this year as opposed to last year, and what are the differences that you see?
I think one of the main things, you know, that they changed was putting James Harden in the point guard position. You know, James was holding the ball anyways. Most of the time he was playing with the ball anyways. So it really made logically to put him as a point guard. So I'll give the props for a coach. You know, that was a really smart decision to put him as a point guard and give him the power of initiating everything and, you know, shooting whenever he wants. So, you know, like, I think that was the main key. You know, they had a couple of really dangerous shooters that they really needed. And I think, you know, the style they play perfectly fits every players that they have, you know, and I think that's the reason why they're so successful this year.
I brag on you all the time. I know that you are not only a FIFA fan and a soccer fan, but that you are one hell of a video game player. Have you ever considered? Now, we do have the Gamer Wall is a sponsor of our show. They have competitions where you can actually cash in and win money playing against equal competition. I know FIFA's your game. I mean, would you play video games professionally or give it a shot based on your love of that game and the way you play it?
I mean, just be honest. I'm not that. I mean, I am a big gamer, and I play a lot with my friends when I have a chance. But as soon as the season starts, I don't really have that much time to play. But of course, I mean, it'd be fun to play against the other people live. Sitting next to each other. Of course, it's even more fun. We have a friend, and you can tease them around. But I think just to try it, I think it would be fun.
I would like to see you talk crap to people on one of these live games because of the fact that I already know that you are not PC all the time, but you have some great one-liners. I would love to hear you talking to some 13-year-old kid who's trying to bust your chops in a game of FIFA.
Oh, listen, before I played online, I made a couple of kids cry. So, it was I felt pretty bad, I really felt bad. The kid was yelling and crying, because, I was playing with the Xbox and you have the speaker and everything connected with a camera. So I had a camera on and, I turned off my speaker, but I could hear him. I don't think that he knew that I can hear him. And the kid was legit, I was killing him and he would start crying, he started yelling, screaming at a TV, at a game, it was funny, but from the other hand, I was feeling bad as I make someone upset like that.
That's awesome stuff.
Timo out here just making kids cry, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, listen, man, I wish you all the best. You know that. I'm glad things are going well for you, and I hope it's just the beginning of a lot of great things. You get another contract, and you end up being where you want to be, doing what you love to do. I know you're going to play for your country, Lithuania, and that's fantastic, too. But we miss you around here, but we wish you all the best, and I appreciate you joining us today.
Well, I miss you too, guys. Like I said, I left a lot of friends over there in Houston. I still have a lot of friends, and, it's always nice to talk with you guys, and it's nice to see them. And, like I said, I wish you all the best too. And like I said, I'm playing. I'm feeling great. So in the end, the thing's going to work out.
Perfect, man. Well, I'll catch up with you when you get here in town, but go easy on them tomorrow night, but do your thing, and we'll be watching.
See you guys.
All right. Donatas Matiunas joining us here on the show. We've been trying to get that done for quite some time. He was able to talk a little bit more about what he couldn't talk about, but he's a great dude, man. I hope it goes well for him because he literally walked away and lost probably 9 or 10 mil in that deal. Yeah. I mean, he turned down one at 9, one at 6, and ended up signing for less than 2.
Mm.
That's not money you can recoup very easily.
That's a lot of cash.
Yeah, I don't think he's making that back on the gamer wall anytime soon.
No.
But a good dude. I hope it all works out for him. And it'll be good to see him play against the Rockets tomorrow night and see how healthy and how good he looks in person or on TV. We got one segment to go. Not plenty more show, but enough show. If you want to join us, 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. It's Joel. It's Nick. It's Barry. It's ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4 as we get ready to hand it off to Fred and AJ and the Blitz along with Jong. And we've had a pretty good show. In case you missed it, we had a angry Siri on earlier.
She was mad.
She was a little testy.
Not a fan of ours, apparently.
No, follow ESPN 97.5. We tweeted it out if you want to take a listen.
Yep.
And we'll also have it on the podcast, right?
And we also will have Demo, who just joined us five minutes ago. That will be also on the podcast as well.
Okay.
Hey, let me try something else. Can I try another experiment? Earlier it worked.
When did we stop you?
I want to try this again. I don't know. Sometimes you guys will cut me off, don't you?
Yeah, I cut you off all the time,
but that's just your relatives texting you, but yes.
Okay, let's try this again. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Okay, Google, call mom. I just want to see how many people's phones are calling their mom right now. That'd be...
Well, at least you went more PC than last time.
I just wanted to see. This is a good... I may have to do this every day now. I may just have to see what I can get people's phones to do while they're driving around.
Because not that I know anybody, but I'm just saying that if like other people's spouses check their phones and search engines and things,
yeah,
you might have set up some quarrels within the relationship community.
People are texting the show saying how I've now ruined their search history and they have to go and delete it now because their spouses might think weirdly.
Didn't you kick somebody off their GPS as well?
I did. Yeah. I did. Mm-hmm. This has been a successful experiment.
And it all started because of the fact that when we did the actual interview with Siri, just talking to Siri set off Josh Rapp's phone.
So we were like,
wait a minute. That's not a problem. That's actually funny.
That's good stuff. So feedback, early feedback, early results. I guess your phone has to be unlocked because it didn't work this time. Damn it.
Everybody said that?
Some phones. No, just one. I know some phones were unlocked. It had to have been. So
okay,
we'll see. We'll try tomorrow. Maybe I'll do a full Blue Waffle search.
Oh boy!
No, see, I wouldn't do that to people.
Yes, well, you did close. That. I mean, look, we actually belabored it for quite a while because we were like,
how far
is too far? And we don't like, we want to see people like scramble and kind of panic a little bit. We don't want anybody to like really, get deep in trouble, if you know what I mean.
And then somebody just texted, Barry, you are why I changed my phrase, because I guess you can change the phrase you use to activate the phone, so you can, you know, so if it's not just okay, Google. It's something else, in which I probably just did that again to people's phones. But, yeah, I think you can change the phrase. And according to Jong, with Siri now, it only recognizes the owner of the phone's voice. So if you try to talk to Siri, it doesn't work. But apparently Josh Rapp has an old iPhone because that wasn't the case.
That's not shocking to me.
No.
But he does find a way to make sure he gets out of work enough to follow us wherever we go. So that's
I like Josh.
He's a good dude.
Up.
He's a baseball guy too.
He is, and I know that he's a big Cardinals fan. So
hey, so the engineer AD, he had to turn his phone off because you just kept blowing up his phone.
So it does work.
I just wanted to let you know.
I love it. This is like a new toy for me on the radio.
It does work.
It does.
Hey, you know we love the ability to do what we do around here.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, if you get that audio ready on Simeon Rice. The one thing that I know that we don't do, mm-hmm. like some people do, is we don't try to like.
Wait, what did you just say?
Push it too far.
That was a lot.
We don't do what people do.
That was a lot of.
Which is like we don't like if we get a guest on, we're going to ask a hard hitting question, but we're not going to like push it to the point where.
Well, we didn't exactly ask all the hard hitting questions of Nemo, did we?
Well, I kept asking if I was missing something. I would have asked him more. I tried to get everything I could out of him on the physical, but okay, go ahead and kill me right after I say that. That's shocking to me.
I'm just saying, we probably
don't think we did either.
I think we could have asked Nemo, like, do you hate the Rockets? Do you?
He kind of said, I mean, he touched on it anyway that he doesn't hate them.
He wasn't
but he's
going
moving
to
on.
Say it.
He wasn't going to say anything.
No, he wasn't. That's
but he
why
also
we don't
made
ask.
He also made it known that he would go back there, which I thought was crazy, but he said that. So Simeon Rice, kind of in the same kind of category as we had with Isaac Bruce and or Terrell Owens in the fact that he is potential Hall of Fame material. He thinks he is. The rest of the world evidently doesn't. Mm. And he got on a radio show and actually attacked and got into a back and forth with a radio host who wouldn't let it go that he didn't think Simeon Rice was Hall of Fame material, and it makes for quality audio.
I've averaged sacks per game. I led the NFL in that. The fastest to 100 sacks, did that. I mean, what else could you do? What else can I do?
Well, I guess you know what I mean? my answer would be more sacks. You're 19th all time.
But that's because I retired and guys went past me. That was when I retired. I wasn't that at 19.
Okay.
When I retired at the get, and when I retired, I was like at 8. And the only reason I retired at that point in time and I didn't eclipse all records because I got injured.
Let me ask you this, Simeon. You think if I went around and asked people that were coaching in football back then, who was the better player at the time, Michael Strahan or Simeon Rice? Hands down, they'd say you?
If they know football, they would. If they know football, they would.
Well.
Michael Strahan played in a big New York market, man. So he was able to really ride on that big New York market. He went to the Pro Bowl when he had 4 sacks. Are you kidding me? He went to the Pro Bowl when he had 4 sacks, and I had 16 and a half and didn't get voted in. So I lived this. You talking about something that you know nothing about. You just speculating. Mm. I'm talking about facts. I'm talking about real performance. I'm talking about changing games. I was a game changer. All right? You talk to Rod Marinelli about this.
Instead of talking to me, Rod needs to pick up the phone and talk to the people who vote on the Hall of Fame. That's what he needs to do. Where's that phone call?
I don't know. He gives me the call every year. It's like, Simeon, we got to get you in.
Now, why do you think we're talking to Simeon Rice, by the way. Simeon, why do you think it is you were only a first-team All-Pro one time? Is it because of the oversight again?
Because you were All-Pro. I was a first-team All-Pro four times. Get the stats right.
I've got your football reference page open, man.
I was an All-Pro, and I wasn't even a Pro Bowler. I was an All-Pro my first year.
Okay.
My first year going to the Pro Bowl when Tony Dungy brought me. I was a four-time All-Pro. I was a three-time Pro Bowler.
Well, then I think this is a big-time error on the Hall of Fame's part from the sounds of things. Hey, Simeon, have a happy birthday week, all right, man?
Suck it.
Okay, let's drop that one.
That was CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Man.
Oh, man, and wow.
Oh, man.
Do you think he went too far?
He hit me with the S of D.
Would you do that?
He hit me with the S of D. Would I say that to him?
Would you like push it? Because you and I probably were sitting in front of Isaac Bruce. It would be a little different if we were sitting in front of Simeon Rice.
I feel like I asked some tough questions. It's like that time you said I wouldn't ask Corey Brewer about his 3-point shooting, and I did. Okay. I would ask him. I don't know if I would challenge.
Corey Brewer doesn't exactly look like Simeon Rice.
Yeah, I mean, I would ask questions that are relevant. I don't know if I would push a guy to make him angry and then start being a smartass.
I mean, that guy kind of was, he kept pushing it.
But I would ask questions.
Yeah. I mean, I think it might have been a different story if Simeon was in studio.
With that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, very well could. And because did he say that, was one of his points that he was the fastest to 100 sacks?
Yes, that was one of his points.
And so I was looking that up.
At
while
that
he was
time,
talking.
Though, he, see, because this is a condensed version, so you didn't get to hear the entire
right, but interview. But there's this thing that says, no, he wasn't the fastest to 100. He did it in 139 games. On December 5th, 2004, he got his 100th career sack. That was 139 NFL games. At that point, the record was held by Reggie White, who did it in 96 games, okay. Nearly three full seasons. Bruce Smith did it in 115. Leslie O'Neal, 128. Richard Dent, 130. Derek Thomas, 133. Rice was at 139. Not even close.
I mean, bottom line is, too, I mean, you would think you'd have your own stats pretty much memorized, but
I don't know. I think he was going to drop that S of D the whole time. He was just waiting because he was already
I hope he
angry.
Doesn't hit Radio Row and have someone bump into him because he might be just a little bit angry.
That's an angry dude.
All right. Well, that puts a wraps on another good show.
Simeon Rice got angry. Thanks, Joel.
Yeah. And there's nothing like using another thanks, Joel, to make the day of the people that I work with. So we got another show in the books. We've got more to go. We will be back same bat time, same bat channel tomorrow. Until then, we're going to turn over to Fred and AJ in the Blitz. They're next, along with Jong. For Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.